Maybe snow has been a little scarce so far this winter in your neck of the woods, but it is coming. And today we're going to talk about the best ways to take advantage of it. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we'll talk about winter sports all over the state. John Mayall of the Department of Natural Resources will give us an overview of the many winter activity opportunities at our state parks, including the ones you've thought about, like skiing and hiking, and a few that probably don't spring to mind, like bird watching and winter camping. We'll also check in with Gail Barrels of the WikiUp Outdoor Learning Center in Linn County. We'll talk about the ways they help people enjoy our winter wonderland. And later this hour, you've seen the shanties, and maybe you think people sitting out on a frozen lake fishing through a small hole are a little crazy. Well, Tim Smith of Des Moines Parks and Rec will give us a primer on ice fishing, and we'll find out why it may not be so crazy after all. Please join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. In Iowa, January can feel like the longest month, and the best way to beat cabin fever, of course, is to get out of the cabin or your house or your apartment. Today, we'll talk about ways to get out and enjoy winter, and we'd love to hear about your favorite outdoor activities and your favorite places to visit in wintertime. Later on this hour, I'll talk with Gail Barrels from WikiUp Hill Outdoor Learning Center in Linn County, and we'll also, later than that, we'll learn about ice fishing from Tim Smith of Des Moines Parks and Rec. But we're going to start off today at our state parks. John Mayall of the Department of Natural Resources is with me now. Hi, John.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you so much for being here today.
You bet.
We're just about to see a lot more of the white stuff, so maybe we'll inspire people to actually get outside and do some winter sports. We haven't had a lot of snow, at least in southeastern Iowa so far this year. So.
Yeah, you bet. We have plenty up here in northeast. I'm up in Monticello here and manage the northeast district, and so we've had plenty.
More than your share, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, I want to start off with talking about cross-country skiing, because, of course, that's something that really can be done almost anywhere. But what makes a great cross-country ski trail?
Well, certainly what we hear from our visitors who do that actively is they really prefer to have groomed trails. You're right. You can do it anywhere, and any of our trails are available for that. Some because of the, especially in the northeast parts where we have some karst topography, the very steep terrain and rocky, it's not as favorable for it, of course. But on our trails, many of our trails that are more level, and longer distance trails, we groom those with a snow machine pulling a trailer that leaves some packed down tracks specifically for cross country skiers, and they certainly seem to prefer those trails.
Sure. The groomed trails, once a trail has been groomed, is there a kind of etiquette that other people have to pay attention to? Are other people not allowed on those trails?
No, not necessarily. But we get out there often enough, and even if it's a trail that has snowmobile traffic, a snowmobile doesn't tend to it floats across that snow a lot better than a cross-country skier, and so those tracks will still be there. In fact, sometimes if a trail's not groomed and a snowmobile uses it, that kind of makes it a little bit better than had they not been on there anyway. They need upkeep, certainly. If you have a lot of pedestrian traffic on that particular trail, it's good to go back in there with the groomer and clean it up. But we just kind of keep an eye on those trails, and if they need some maintenance, they get out on there with their snow machines and get them groomed again.
How many state parks actually groom trails for people?
That's a good question. I know of a half a dozen. There may be a few more than that. Probably the best thing to do is just to call out your park and ask if that's an interest. I can recommend a couple here in northeast Iowa that I'm familiar with. Mines of Spain up in Dubuque area has a large visitation of cross-country ski traffic, and they maintain some very nice trails there. And Volga River up by Fayette has miles and miles of cross-country ski trails that are groomed and really don't compete with a lot of other traffic, so they stay in pretty good shape.
What makes good snow for cross-country skiers?
Any snow. We're not real picky. It's a lot more forgiving than a lot of other winter activities because if you do groom it, it's packed down. It's pretty accessible. It's really more about the terrain, I think, than it is the snow conditions. You just need the snow to be there. I'm not a cross country skier myself, so there may be some listeners that take issue with those comments, but it doesn't seem to be as sensitive of an activity as like downhill skiing.
Have you seen any kind of ebb and flow in the number of cross country skiers over the years?
Absolutely. We've seen a big uptrend in users that use our trails for cross country skiing, and a lot more pressure to keep them groomed. I think my feeling is it's a fairly cost effective activity. It doesn't require a lot of planning, and it's good exercise. And fitness, of course, is becoming more and more popular. And finding time to get out and enjoy the outdoors is something people are seeking out more and more, too, and all of our activities across the board in state parks. But cross-country skiing is one that's been emerging, and we're getting more and more pressure to have groomed trails for those users.
Now, of course, to be a cross-country skier, you need to have skis. Do you have any kind of ski rental services through any of the state parks, or is that something people just need to find on their own?
We don't have any cross-country ski rentals, per se. A couple of our parks have the equipment that they use for programs. So, for instance, I think a couple of times during the year, like at Mines of Spain, they'll do programs and nature programs where people come and they can learn about how to do it, and they have equipment there for them to use. The counties may do a little bit more of that than we do. But, I noticed just the other day we were at a used sporting goods store, and they had a whole host of cross-country skis, poles, and boots, and it was really pretty cost-effective.
So the startup may not be so expensive. Now, of course, if you want to get out there in the snow, you don't have to have skis on your feet. Winter hiking can be a whole lot of fun as well. What should you think about if you want to go out for a hike in the wintertime?
Well, first of all, I would encourage people to do it if they haven't done it, because it is just awesome out in our state parks in the wintertime. You're not dealing with the crowds. You see the resource in a whole different way when the trees aren't foliated and things are covered in white. It's just beautiful. But my biggest concern, I guess, my biggest warning would be prepared. Our state parks are, they're not city parks. They tend to be large wilderness areas. And if you get out there and get into trouble, it can be a deadly situation. So be sure to, I guess the most important thing is to be prepared to be out in the elements, to wear lots of layers. It's not necessarily a good thing, especially if you're hiking up and down hills in a state park in the wintertime, to get very overheated and start to sweat. Because when you cool off, that increases the likelihood of hypothermia when you're wet. So wear lots of layers, breathable clothing, and manage your core temperature. You just can't beat it. If you haven't been out in a state park in the wintertime, everybody should try it. One thing that's kind of neat that you don't think about often is that the daylight is shorter, of course. Our hours are 4 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. in the summertime. It gets dark around 9 or 9:30. You don't have a whole lot of time to enjoy the state park in the dark, but in the wintertime, this time of year, it's dark at 5 o'clock. There's several hours of darkness, and we don't have the night sky pollution like you do in the city. And you get out in that state park, and you go out on a trail. You'll see the outdoors in a way you've never seen before. The stars are so bright, and there's so many of them, and they reflect off the snow. And it's a whole different way to experience the outdoors.
Well, one of the other things that's very different in winter, you suggested that bird watching is a great activity in wintertime, and I had never really thought of the fact that you can see the birds a lot better in the winter.
You bet. You sure can. And they also tend to group up a little bit more where the food and water sources are. There is not as wide a variety of birds, but they're sure plenty. If a bird feeds on seed and has an open water source, they'll be around, and there's just some beautiful birds to see in the winter. One, for example, is our national bird, the bald eagle. You can't see it in the summertime here. The only time you see it is in the winter. And our state parks are a fantastic place to see them. I know at Wapsipinicon State Park in Anamosa there. You can drive down that lower road. You don't even have to experience the cold, and you can see bald eagles perched in the trees right over the river there as they're looking for fish to eat. Cardinals and blue jays, of course, are brilliant, big winter birds that are fun to see, and some different finches and some woodpeckers. And there's just, and like you say, because the vegetation is down, you can see through the habitat so much better. You can pick those birds out, and they're bright red colors. And it's a neat time to see birds.
When we were asking you for suggestions about winter activities, one of the things you suggested is winter camping. And I love the outdoors, but winter camping puts a little bit of fear in me. What kind of camping are you talking about?
Well, it would tend to be for the hardier of campers. And we don't experience a lot of camping visitation in the wintertime, but we do some. One that comes to mind, we get just about every park, I think, will get, if they have an open campground, some Boy Scouts that will come out, and they can go through some winter survival tactics and just understand what it's like to camp outside. If you've got the right equipment, if you've got a good tent with a solid rain fly that goes all the way to the bottom, all the way to the ground, it traps a lot of that body heat and the heat that you release when you breathe. And you can do it, and you can be very alone. I mean, really, winter camping is for people who they like the solitude, because most of our state parks, you would be all by yourself, and it's fairly cheap, too. I think our winter camping rates are down around $6 a night or something.
And
there is
a special kind of quiet in the snow.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And you know, if the campground's open and the roads are clean, I mean, there's a few people that maybe they're traveling and they pull in there with their RV. We see some of that, but I think they're just mainly looking for a place to hold over for the night. But we do have a few people that'll go out there and enjoy tent camping in the winter. It's kind of an adventure, challenges you, and there's a sense of reward having had done that safely and gotten through it.
There are options in some state parks as far as renting a cabin.
Certainly.
It's a little warmer.
Yeah, certainly. And that kind of a cabin is a way for a family or a group to engage the state park in the wintertime and meet everybody's needs. And we see that quite frequently. We've got several cabins up at Backbone State Park that are often, almost every weekend, we've got people renting cabins. And a lot of times you'll see some folks who just want to have a quiet weekend away, and they'll sit in that rustic cabin and curled up in a blanket reading a book while the rest of their family is out ice fishing on the lake or cross-country skiing or what have you. Sometimes we'll have hunting parties that'll do that. And the cabin gives you a chance to get in and warm up have a shower and you know, fix your meals in relative comfort while you take in the outdoors.
Well, John,
at your pace.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking with us today, John Mail of the Department of Natural Resources, with some ideas for how to get out and enjoy our state parks in the winter months. We're going to be talking more about winter sports and outdoor activities in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about winter sports, outdoor activities, any way to get out and enjoy Iowa's winter weather. We'd love to hear about your favorite destinations and your favorite winter sports. And with me now is Gail Barrel. She's Conservation Education Specialist at Wickiup Hill Outdoor Learning Center in Linn County. We're also going to be talking about ice fishing in about 15 minutes. Hello, Gail.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful.
Anticipating a little snowfall today?
Yes. I'm just not quite sure if it'll be enough for our ski trails to get back up and running.
Well, I guess we'll know by tomorrow afternoon or so. But so, Gail, at an outdoor learning center, is the winter usually a quieter time of year?
Yes, it is a little quieter. We don't get the same number of school field trips coming out. But we do see quite a few people out on the trails during the wintertime.
So what kinds of things do you offer to attract people in the winter months?
We here in Linn County have about 10 or 12 miles of groomed trails at various parks. And here at Wickiup Hill, we have about 3.5 miles, 4 miles of groomed trails. And our trails are groomed for both skate skiing and the classic or Nordic skiing. So we have people who want to come out and just leisurely go down the trail. And we also have people who come out and put a lot of energy into their skiing.
What is skate skiing?
Skate skiing is it's skiing on skates, basically. You ski on a flat, harder surface. It's what you see the Olympic skaters doing when they're really moving quickly and fast, especially up a hill.
Okay, so it's a more of a smooth motion?
Yeah, it's just like it would be like skating on ice, but you've got your skis on.
Okay, and you offer cross-country ski lessons at Wiki Uphill, right?
Yes, we do. We offer lessons when we have a good conditions for skiing, and we do what we call a moment, get out there on the moment and that kind of thing. So we have a list of people on an email list, and we let them know. We send out news releases, and we'll say, hey, you know, tomorrow's ski conditions are great. Let's do some skiing and have a few lessons.
When people come to you and want to learn about cross-country skiing, what are the first few things that you teach them?
Well, I think one of the important things is clothing, to wear the proper types of clothing, not wear cotton. The old outdoor adage is cotton kills. And so if you get jeans wet and snowy, they will be wet and cold, whereas if you wear polypropylene and other types of clothing that are meant to wick away the sweat from your body, you're going to be much more comfortable. And not wearing, you know, to wear layers, but light layers. It might be, you know, 10 degrees outside, but if you wear too many thick layers of clothing, your winter coat and your winter cap and your big winter gloves, you're going to get hot and sweaty.
And if you get hot and sweaty, you could also get really cold in a few minutes.
Yes, yes, that can get very dangerous.
I'm sure some people look at people cross-country skiing and think that looks really hard. Are there any basic skills that you need to have to be able to do it?
You know, it's just learning how to move your feet and staying in balance. It's not difficult to learn. It takes a little practice, but it gets you outside in the winter. It's good exercise, very good exercise, and you can go as slow or as fast as you would like, depending upon what your skills are.
What do you like about it?
I love getting out. I just love getting outside in the wintertime, and it is a different... it's a little different than being out in the summer. It's a little quieter, usually. And I just love getting out, and I like to look for animal tracks in the snow or do a little bird watching as I'm going down the trail, that kind of thing.
So you like to take your time?
Yeah, you could say that.
We were talking earlier about ski trail etiquette, and we have a caller who wants to weigh in on that, but at Wiki Uphill, do you have rules about who can use a groomed trail once it's been groomed?
Not particularly. We kind of hope that people that are out just for a hike don't walk across the classic or the Nordic tracks because that can kind of ruin the tracking. We do have the skate skiing area, which is flatter, and if people walk, hike or snowshoe on those areas, it really doesn't affect that skiing much.
Okay, so just try to stay off the trails because putting a foot through the trail can be it a lot less fun for skiers.
Yeah, especially those people that the classic skiing where you're just putting your one foot in front of the other on a groomed track. People walking on that can ruin it. But the other side of the trail, which is groomed for skate skiing, usually doesn't get damaged much if you walk across it.
With snowshoeing, what kind of snow is good for snowshoeing?
Snowshoeing is great because you can go out in many different conditions when you're snowshoeing. You don't need to wait for a trail to be groomed. In fact, you can get off trail and it's pretty easy going. And it's something that basically anybody can do. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. And so it gets you outside. I know I like to go out, walk through the woods with my dogs, and I don't have to worry about slipping and sliding and that kind of thing. And it gets you outside to get some fairly decent exercise in the winter and to maybe go out and go to an area that you don't normally go to because, you know, it's winter and it's cold and you've got snow, and you think, I can't go there. But it's a lot of fun to get your snowshoes out and just start hiking.
Brett is on the line from Iowa City. Hi, Brett.
Hi there.
Hi, and you wanted to call in and weigh in on the cross-country skiing etiquette?
Yeah, I run a website, actually, called the Iowa Ski Trail Update that lists conditions for the whole state of Iowa, and all the grooming personnel report in and post conditions so folks know what's going on at the trails. But regarding ski trails, once a ski trail is groomed for skiing, any other sort of traffic, hiking, walking, snowshoeing isn't too bad on it, but hiking and walking really destroy a ski trail, as that isn't what the trails are intended for unless it happens to be multi-use. And in that case, in the Iowa City area, we insist and ask people politely to either, one, hike somewhere else, two, get off in the loose snow, and we try and pack down an alternative trail for them to walk on, or at least stay to the edges of the trail, because the hiker and walker traffic causes what we call snow scars that burns off quicker when the temperatures go up.
I have done a lot of winter hiking in remote areas where there aren't groomed trails, and I find that there are often conflicts between skiers and hikers. And do you have any advice for skiers as far as, if you're trying to ski in an area where there aren't groomed trails, how do you share the trail?
Be polite. Be polite. If it's multi-use, well, then it's for everybody, and everybody should try to get along and try and acknowledge each other's needs and wants and so on and so forth, just so everybody can get along.
So have you been having to do a lot of traveling to get some good skiing in this winter, Brett?
Quite a bit. I generally groom the trail here in Iowa City, the Ashton Cross Country Course, and a friend grooms McBride, and we've been lacking in snow this year, so we've been having to head north to Decorah or Kresko or up in Mason City. And there are some fabulous trails and a lot of snow up there. But actually, throughout the state, if you hit the website, the Iowa Ski Trail Update, there are ski locations north of I-80 from one end of the state to the other.
Well, and if you get lucky, then maybe tomorrow will be a good skiing day in Iowa City, too.
Oh, we're certainly hoping.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Brett. I always find that there's a lot of conflict between the people who are hoping for a lot of snow and people who are hoping for absolutely none. But I suppose in your line of work, Gail, you're mostly hoping for snow.
Yes, we are. The more snow, the better, usually. We were really disappointed when, we got that nice warm spell. Everyone was wonderful. You know, they loved the wonderful warm weather, but the snow disappeared very quickly. And so, that just kind of ruins being able to go outside and enjoy the winter quite as much.
Now, we were talking about snowshoeing a few minutes ago, and I have never discovered the joy of snowshoeing. For me, most of the time, it feels like a lot more work than just hiking. What makes snowshoeing fun?
I think you can just get out and explore places that you don't normally get out to. If you have the right pair of snowshoes, it really isn't a lot worse than just walking. It is a little more energy, but boy, you can go out and explore some really awesome places and just have a great time.
Now, you also give workshops on building your own snowshoes. How do you build your own snowshoes?
The snowshoes that we build here at Wiki Up Hill are the wooden frame shoes that you then need to weave and tie the interior bind, or the, not the bindings, but the webbing onto. So they're kind of the old-fashioned snowshoes that have the wooden frame. And it's an interesting experience to do that, and it's a lot of fun. And then you have your own set of shoes that you have made yourself, and you can get outside and enjoy using those.
Do you have a lot of takers for making your own snowshoes?
We usually do. We offer it once a year, usually in the wintertime, and we have a class almost every year. And so it takes three or four nights to do the weaving and that kind of thing, and then it takes a couple more nights to put the varnish on and that kind of thing.
We're talking about winter sports today and other outdoor activities all across the state of Iowa. And, of course, a lot of parts of the state of Iowa have plenty of snow and have had plenty of snow this winter. If you live in one of those parts, let us know how you've been getting out to enjoy the snow this winter. If you don't, you can call and let us know what you wish you'd been outside doing. But we'd love to hear about your favorite outdoor activities and some of your favorite places to go. We had a comment from Jill on our Facebook page alerting us to the fact that there's a revival of a skiing club taking place in Dubuque, the Snowmad Ski Club, that traces its roots back to 1967. They're trying to revive that club for kids and everyone in the city. That's an interesting story. And we'd love to hear your story, your memories of things that you love to do in the snow. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Now, Gail, what kind of advice do you have for parents who want to get their kids out to enjoy the snow but run into a little bit of resistance with, it's really cold out there, Mom, I don't want to go outside?
I think once you get the kids outside, they really do enjoy it. And you can get snowshoes for kids that are preschool age and get them out and just, you know, don't spend too much time outside with them. Little spurts of time at, you know, 10, 20 minutes at a time, go back in and get warm, that kind of thing. At least give them just little bits of time, and then they're interested, and then they want to go back out and then do the same thing again. Join other groups, other families that are going outside. We're trying to start a cross-country ski club here at Wiki Up Hill also, in which we can enjoy being together, skiing and learning a few new techniques, and then having a little social meal afterwards, some social time together and talking with and meeting new friends that are interested in the same things that we are.
And you've been trying to start that up this year for the first time?
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is our first year of trying to do that.
Right, unfortunately, this is the year that we don't have a lot of snow, but it must be a little bit frustrating.
Yes, it is.
Were you able to get it going before the snow melted?
Well, we did schedule one event, and our trails were absolutely busy the day that we had it, but nobody really came to join us for our club, and so we're hoping to spread the word and get a few more people interested.
All right. Well, again, you can call and join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And, of course, there are a couple of months, at least a couple of months, left in winter. So, Gail, you may have some more luck here.
Yes, there's plenty of time for everyone to get out. And I'd also like to mention that many of the county conservation boards in Iowa have groomed trails, rent cross-country skis and or snowshoes, and do programming and teaching people how to ski and snowshoe. So look up your local county conservation board and see what they have to offer.
Don is on the line from Davenport. Hello, Don.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
hi.
No problem. What do you like to do outside in the winter?
Well, I'll tell you, this summer I did get laid off, and I'm kind of it's kind of a bummer, but I'll tell you, I've got a little more time on my hands, and I, unlike about 99% of the population, I'm a huge winter fan. I absolutely love snow. I'm really disappointed that we had the meltdown we did, because I'll tell you, I just think it's much prettier to have snow on the ground this time of the year than just brown and gray and stuff. But anyway, Duck Creek Park in Davenport and Bettendorf, which runs the length pretty much of the Quad Cities, I've gotten my camera out there this year, and outdoor photography this time of the year is just unbelievable. I've gotten some really nice shots, some really good digital photos and things like that. So just capturing that on film to me is just wonderful. I love this time of the year, and there's certain lightings, you know, and times of the day when it's better than others. But even with clouds, I found with that white snow on the ground is just amazing. It's just absolutely beautiful. I don't know. I just love it. So I just wanted to bring that out, too. It's photography this time of the year is great.
We've had a couple of wonderful days of freezing frost in the Iowa City area. Have you had some freezing frost there, too?
I was out of town, and that was at Christmas time, and I was out of town. But when I came back on the interstate, I noticed it alongside the freeway, and people were telling me that by the time I got back to the Quad Cities, it was pretty much gone. But yeah, even stuff like that. I mean, fog and free. You know, I don't like freezing rain, but freezing rain can make some really cool ice pictures. You know, and I don't know. There's just something really neat about those kinds of pictures that you can't. You know, you just don't get any time of the year except for winter.
Well, Don, thank you so much for your call, and I hope you have less time on your hands in the near future, but I'm glad you're making the best of it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Bill is on the line from Sac City. Gail, with a question for you about skis. Hi, Bill.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for taking my call, Charity.
Thanks for calling. We only have a minute here, so ask away.
Okay. I have two pairs of 35-year-old Nordic cross-country skis, which are the waxable type. And at one time, I tried a friend's waxless fish scale skis, and they didn't seem to work nearly as well. And I was just wondering, what type of ski are you advising people to purchase, either the waxless or waxable, assuming that perhaps technologies have changed over since 35 years ago?
Well, I'm sure technology has changed. Most people today do buy the waxless skis. And you may sometimes still want to wax your waxless skis, depending upon the snow conditions and how cold it is. I know when I've gone up to northern Minnesota to ski and it's 15 below, putting some wax on those skis helps you get going. I still say the majority buy waxless skis. Those people who have been skiing for a longer period of time and are maybe more into the skate skiing and that kind of thing do usually apply wax to their skis.
All right, Bill, I hope that answers your question. And Gail, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Gail Barrels of Wickiup Hill Learning Outdoor Learning Center in Linn County, hoping for some snow today and tomorrow. We're talking about outdoor winter activities, and we're going to talk about ice fishing next. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about ways to take advantage of the cold and the snow in Iowa. And we're going to shift gears a little bit. We'd still love to hear from you with your favorite outdoor activities. And we'll get to you, Jim, in just a moment. But we're going to shift gears and talk about ice fishing now, an outdoor activity that involves a little more sitting still than some of the other activities we've been talking about. If you are an ice fisherman or ice fisherwoman, give us a call and let us know why you enjoy it so much. Tim Smith is Recreation Program Supervisor of the Des Moines Parks and Recreation Department. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And you at the Parks and Rec Department, you're teaching classes on ice fishing this winter. Why are you teaching people to ice fish?
Well, we're offering ice fishing classes because we did a survey a few years back, and it really stated that people want to reconnect, they want to get back outdoors, and one that they really wanted to do was ice fish. So we put some classes together, we found a local expert to teach them, and we're real excited about it.
And this is a 4-week series of classes, but I noticed that the first 3 weeks take place indoors.
Well, you know, being unsure of whether or not the ice would be thick enough, we thought, let's get people together, get them excited, get them talking about ice fishing. We have such a great instructor who told us that, yes, he could teach ice fishing anywhere that we needed it taught in any type of setting. So we thought we would take advantage of that and at a bare minimum get people talking about fishing in a classroom setting.
So what do people learn in that first 3 weeks? What kinds of lessons are you able to teach when you're not out on the ice?
Well, we can go over equipment, strategies, ice safety, things of that nature. So it's a good opportunity to prepare yourself for ice fishing because, of course, there's a lot of issues, not just safety, but a lot of issues in general regarding ice fishing.
Do you need a lot of special equipment to do ice fishing?
Basically, what you'll want to do first, of course, if you're going ice fishing, one important thing that you have to keep in mind is, of course, that you're on ice, and that is always dangerous. So what you need to do first is check that ice thickness. So in regards to equipment, the way that we can check it is by using an ice chisel or an ice auger or a cordless drill. And then, of course, you need a tape measure. As far as equipment, you know, a lot of the equipment that you fish with is very, very similar to what you would take fishing on a normal summer day. So you would have bait, you would have special rods or smaller rods, rods and reels, Depending on if you have an ice shack, you'd want to take a, you know, an ice shack, a sled. You need augers. There's a whole long list of equipment needed.
So it sounds like you could start up with a little bit of equipment, but if you really want to do it in a big way, you could wind up with a lot of equipment.
Yeah, definitely so. Because again, with the safety issue, there's just a truckload of equipment.
Well, we'll talk more about ice fishing in a moment. If you'd like to join our conversation about ice fishing or about any of your favorite outdoor winter activities, give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. Send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Also, if you have a favorite winter destination in Iowa, a place that's really magical in the winter, let us know about it. Jim is on the line from Shell Rock. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
Hi. What do you like to do outside this time of year?
Well, we have horses, and we don't put them away for the winter. They're broke to drive, so we go sleigh riding all winter long, and we just, our friends, something you can do with a group, and kids just love to tie their sleds on behind and drag through the snow.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes, in the last 2 days we were out driving. We still have just enough snow to do that, and while we were driving, the sun was shining, the sky was blue, we were dressed properly. There was eagles above us and deer in the woods, so I don't know how it can get any better. Why would we want to stay inside?
That sounds fabulous. Where do you go sleigh riding?
Well, we live on an acreage out in the woods, so we have a lot of area around us, fields and woods to drive through.
Do you put bells on the horses?
Yes, we do.
So you've got your jingle bells.
Yes, we do, yep.
Oh, that's
wonderful. And another comment I'd just like to make, how do you get kids outside? Well, kids follow adults. If the adults say, oh, it's cold out, we don't want to go outside, what are the kids going to say? So if the adults want to go out and play, the kids are more than willing to go out and play if they're properly dressed.
All right, Jim, thank you so much for your call. I hope you have a lot more snow to enjoy this winter.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, back to ice fishing. And if you're an ice fisher person, give us a call and let us know why you enjoy it so much. Because I know that sometimes people make jokes about ice fishing and sitting out there on a frozen lake doing nothing but having a holding a rod and putting it through a hole in the ice. But have you had a chance, Tim? Do you do much ice fishing yourself?
I do. Most of the times I go up to Minnesota and fish with my brother-in-law. So it's always fun. We have fun whether or not we catch fish.
And what's so fun about it?
I enjoy being outdoors. And, of course, I enjoy spending time with my brother-in-law. And I have two boys, ages 7 and 8. So we all get together. We go out, make a full day of it. You can't beat spending time with your family. And fishing, whether it be ice fishing or open water fishing, is a great way to spend time with your family.
Do the fish behave any differently in the winter?
They're a little more lethargic, but generally not. Fish are hungry quite often, so if you put bait in front of them, they're gonna strike it.
What kinds of fish do you usually catch in the winter?
The species of fish that we'll catch in the winter would be mostly bluegill, perch, crappie, and walleye, and an occasional northern.
What do you do with the fish that you catch?
Well, my brother-in-law is an expert at cleaning fish, so we clean fish and eat them, and they're very good to eat and very healthy for you.
What do you teach people about ice safety?
That's a good question, Doug. And back to equipment for a second. As far as the safety, it's really a lot of it has to do with the equipment that you have. So one thing that you want to keep in mind to take with you, I will touch on that again, is you want to take a rope. First off, you should never go by yourself. Always have a buddy with you when you're fishing. If you fall in, of course, we all know that's not a good thing. So you want to take a rope. You want to make sure you have a flotation suit or any kind of flotation device, such as one you'd wear on a boat would be fine. You want to have waterproof equipment such as flashlight, matches, emergency blankets. You want to take a change of clothes with you in case you do fall in so that when you get back out, you can change your clothes immediately. Of course, you need to test the ice. We touched on that earlier. You want to have
how thick should the ice be?
You know, what I would say to that is there's recommendations out there. You'd want to basically stick around the 4-inch level before you're out on the ice. I want to stress that I'm no expert, so whenever you're out, basically you're kind of on there at your own risk.
Now, I've seen ice fishermen who drive their pickups out onto the ice and let it sit there while they're out fishing. That seems awfully dangerous to me. Do you make recommendations to people about things not to take out on the ice?
Yeah. You know, I see it a lot myself, especially trucks, a lot of times out at Big Creek in Minnesota. It's everywhere. I cannot imagine myself going out fishing on the ice on a truck. Again, I would not go down the road of making recommendations as to when it's safe to put a truck on the ice. I know that some people say anywhere from a foot to a foot and a half is thick enough. For me, I'm a little skittish on that.
All right. Well, you're welcome to join our conversation about ice fishing or any of your favorite outdoor winter activities. Josh is on the line from Humboldt at 866-780-9100. Hello, Josh.
Hi there.
Hi, you've got a favorite winter destination?
Yeah, it's over in Maquoketa, Iowa. And we go down to old Maquoketa State Park, and you know, they have a lot of caves there. There's a bat cave there that's closed during the winter due to the bats' hibernation, but you know, we generally don't go in there. But you know, just check out the caves down there, and it is just beautiful in the wintertime. We do, well, of course, a lot of hiking, and we do camping, outdoor camping, and we don't use tents.
You don't use tents, so you just sleep in the snow?
Well, you know, generally everybody has a poncho and you know, to put down in the snow, so you know you're just not just sitting in the wet. And you know, we have good sleeping bags, and you always have to have a fire going as well. You know, everybody's on fire watch as well. So, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you'd get a really good solid night's sleep, though.
No, you don't. But it's just very enjoyable.
So, what's so special about it? Why do you keep doing it?
It's quiet. It is just so quiet. So quiet, and everything is just white, and you know, even at night when there's no sun, whatever else. I mean, yeah, it's just everything just glows, and it's just wonderful.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for calling.
You bet.
All right, thanks a lot. Enjoy the snow.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Sarah's on the line somewhere near Lansing. Hello, Sarah.
Northeast Iowa.
All right.
Extreme northeast on the Minnesota border.
So you have a lot of snow.
Oh, we have had a lot of snow this year, although we had a bit of a melt, and now hopefully we're going to get more with this new system that's on the way. But we have cross-country skiing. We have downhill skiing. We have skate skiing out on the Mississippi River.
Oh, wow.
In Yellow River Forest, there's snowshoeing and skiing. There's ice fishing out on the Mississippi. There are so many activities this time of year, and the stargazing at night is incredible. We have eagles out on the river, and you can actually go ice skating or ski skating out to see their nests. It's pretty extraordinary, all the different activities that you can take in if you're interested in being out.
And have you always been fond of outdoor sports, Sarah?
Oh, yes. Yes, year-round there's canoeing and hiking, and bicycling is amazing in this part of the state. And then just being out in the winter, just to stay warm, it's just great to go out my back door on my snowshoes and go up to the ridge, and you can see the eagles and the hawks and coyotes around this area.
Turkey, oh, that sounds beautiful.
Deer.
So what is special for you about being out in the wintertime?
I guess it would be the quiet time when you can just be out in the elements. And, of course, with good gear, warm clothing, you can spend quite a bit of time out there and, you know, watch the world right around you. And then at night, the stars and the moon have just been amazing this winter.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for calling.
Okay.
Thanks
a
lot.
People come up to Northeast Iowa.
Yeah, it sounds like a great destination. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And Ellen is on the line next from Des Moines. And Tim, I believe she has a question for you. Hello, Ellen.
Hi. I am calling from Des Moines, and I love to ice skate in the winter. In fact, my whole family does, and it's something I grew up doing in Des Moines. Great sport, very little equipment's required, a very affordable family activity. And I just wondered what the city's doing this winter for ice skating in Des Moines and if it's available right now.
Tim?
What I would suggest is that if you have a pen and paper, I'll give you our main number as far as ice skating goes. You would want to call 515-237-1386.
Okay. I just wanted to reiterate the great experiences I had as a kid, and it just doesn't seem like the city's done a very good job of making that available. I know they like to use heavy equipment to clear the ponds, you know, and by that time the ice is ruined from the snow. We were skating at Dale Moffat last weekend, and it was gorgeous. Ice was 6 inches thick, and as far as I know, there's nothing going on in Des Moines except for Brenton, which is really small and costs money.
Well, one thing that I do know that is in work, and I'm not an expert on ice skating, but I do know that we are preparing to make two man-made ponds. One is at Sheridan Park, and the other, I'm sorry, I'm not going to remember what the other one is.
That is awesome news, because that's something I do remember from a kid. We had at least two on the west side that were really,
sure,
had great ice conditions, you know. Of course, the natural pond program that the city's been doing has been kind of disappointing.
Well, I am with you. I got my start in parks and recreation. One of the things I did was I cared for an ice skating rink. So it was a man-made rink, and it does take some time and effort, but it's worth it. The people like it. So I really encourage you to call our main line, and we will get you the information that you need.
All right, Ellen, thank you so much for your call. I hope you find some great places to skate this winter. And Tim, we just have a couple of minutes left. What kind of interest have you had in your ice fishing classes?
We've had a handful to this point. We have had a lot of phone calls, people that will be coming to the classes. So the interest is out there. Really excited to get them out on the lake and let them try it. This is a process. A few years back, we started looking at our outdoor recreation programming, and our offerings have increased and will continue to do so. Ice fishing is part of that outdoor recreation program. We have multiple fishing classes. We also have an urban fishing program, which is geared more towards children. In the past 3 years, we've had 7,000 children participate in that. We're looking at our bow fishing ordinance. We're going to change that to allow for more bow fishing. Last year, we had a carp fest, which was over 100 participants in that. And again, like I said, just a long list of fishing classes. So we are very excited about our outdoor recreation program, and the ice fishing classes are the first step in that.
And you've also, with the Des Moines Winter Games, you have an ice fishing derby coming up on February 6th?
We do. We have, and that has been real successful. Thank you for mentioning that. Last year we had around 200 participants. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year. There's not a lot of ice fishing derbies out there. So if you have questions or want to get in that, please call 515-248-6310 or visit the Des Moines Winter Games on Facebook.
All right, Tim, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Tim Smith is Recreation Program Supervisor of the Des Moines Parks and Recreation Department. We've been talking about winter sports on Talk of Iowa today. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Jeff Schmidt. Production assistance today from Mitchell Schmidt. Technical support from John Pemble in Des Moines. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at all times at iowapublicradio.org, and you can send us email anytime, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Governor Chuck Colver will give his final condition of the state address.